May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. This is after the temptation. It says, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as was his custom. He entered the synagogue, and on the seventh Sabbath day, he stood up to read, and the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogues were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all who were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words with which he was falling from his lips. And they were saying, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. But I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land, and yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to the Zarephath, and she was a Gentile, in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And all in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. And they rose up and cast him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill in which their city had been built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went his way." Interesting, the scripture, but I don't recommend this to people, but God speaks through every page of scripture, right? But often for me, whenever I've opened up to, my Bible is opened up because I'm going to do my time with the Lord, but many times God will speak some really important word to me from just the page. I don't like throw it down, open up. I just have opened it up to do the Bible, but then before I turn, where my sort of discipline time is, he'll speak this word. And he spoke this word to me, it says, and he passed through the midst of them and went his way. It reminded me that he had spoken that word years ago. It was really powerful. But I couldn't remember really all that he had said, and I thought, what about my pearls? Those pearls are notebooks I have, a bunch of them, where I write the things that God speaks to me. But I thought, but man, I left them, they're all at my house. And I thought, I'm going to keep them here from now on. Then when I have them here, I'm going to get upset when I can't have them at the house. I'm not sure what to do. But I thought, but I looked over there to see if there were any. I thought, well, there was a little bitty notepad that every once in a while I'd write something in. I thought, well, I'll just look and see. And I opened it up and right at the page where I'd written that little devotional from this particular passage. One of the things about living the Christian life is we have a personal relationship with Jesus, not an independent relationship with Jesus. That's where a lot of people in the West get confused. A lot of people, Protestants, get really confused. They think somehow their call is to protest anything anybody ever says that disagrees with them. We're called to live a life of accountability, real accountability. It has real teeth. That's just part of the government of God. There's a government of God even in the Trinity. There's a hierarchy in the Trinity. And it's not about control. It's about protection and nourishing and sending out. That's what it's about. And so we don't have an independent relationship. Jesus lives in the midst of the candlesticks. You're going to find Christ in the middle of his church. You know, his church has got issues, but she's lovely to him. It's still his bride. And you're going to find the fullness of Christ in the midst of his church. But she's not always pretty to us, but she's altogether beautiful to him. But you do have a personal relationship with Christ. And so there is this place of accountability, real accountability. And yet there's this place where you walk out your personal walk with the Lord, but not in a spirit of rebellion. One of my favorite stories is Mother Teresa, whose ministry worked out pretty well, had a slight impact in the world, and still does. Even people, contemporary charismatics, consider her a mentor from a distance. Heidi Baker's book, the most famous one she wrote, Compelled by Love, every single chapter she quotes her first, because her spirit and the things that she taught spoke into her life. She saw her as a spiritual mother. But Mother Teresa, when she had this vision to start this ministry in the slums of Calcutta, and she contacted the archbishop in the area, for a number of reasons, he told her no. And she knew God had spoken to him. Her heart wasn't, well, okay, I'm out of here. I'm going to go. She trusted God with that. It was in God's hand. I think submission to authority is one of the most difficult things in the world, especially when we know that authorities are not heads. Now, it's not about if they're asking you to do something that's sinful or immoral. That's different, but just contrary to what you want. That's where the greatest anointing is found. It says in Psalm 92, we flourish in the house of the Lord. And you don't without that. There are for reasons. But she would write him a letter every 2 weeks and appeal to him for 2 years. And finally, he gave his yes. I don't know if it's because he got tired of reading the letters every 2 weeks or whatever, but that was in God's hands. And then her ministry was released and became one of the most powerful ministries in history. But why was that archbishop wrong? I don't know. But I can tell you who was right, God. And therefore, Mother Teresa was safe. And even though his motives may have been wrong, I guarantee you that the timing of her ministry being birthed was perfect. Maybe it had totally bombed if she'd have started 2 years earlier. Maybe she'd have been killed. I don't know. I know that when Caesar Augustus put out an edict for everybody, because he wanted to count how many servants he had, how many people were part of his kingdom, because he wanted to build a statue of him and call himself deity. And he wanted to know how many worshipers he had. So everybody was asked to go back to their original home place or ancestral home place to register so he could tell how many. And because of that, a poor little couple who was very pregnant had to travel not by greyhound or by plane or by car, but by donkey all the way from Nazareth to Jerusalem. All because of an ungodly man with ungodly motives was used by God, and it says that the scripture might be fulfilled. But there are times when we have to walk out what God's put in our hearts, not in rebellion, but willing to take some flack. You know? Somebody asked me one time, well, if your authority in the CEC were to say, you can't do that anymore, would you not do that anymore? I'd go, right, I wouldn't do that anymore. And then I'd start writing a letter every 2 days. Trusting God. But am I willing to do some things that may get me in trouble and people get irritated with me and frustrated and catch flack, but they haven't said no? Sometimes. This is what I like about this verse. And the Lord spoke this to me years ago when I found myself in the midst of a controversy, doing things that I knew God had put in my heart, though they weren't always being well received at the time. But I didn't have a spirit of rebellion. I walked in the perimeters that I had, but I didn't stop either. I didn't shut up either. But with respect, I just passed through the midst of them and went my way. And what I love what it says about Jesus, it doesn't use the term, and passing through the midst of them, he went on his way. No, he went his way. He knew where he was headed. He was only doing what the Father said. And what he did with the Father, he saw the Father doing, same way he heard the Father saying. And I remember back in those days, this is not bragging about me, because I was certainly not a perfect example, and there weren't those moments when I didn't want to kill somebody or kill myself. I was sometimes homicidal, sometimes suicidal. Because it's not fun to walk through the midst of being criticized, being talked about. But they weren't telling me no. They were just making life miserable. But that was the verse. This was the verse that God used to say to me, pass through the midst of them and go your way. Just go your way, but do it in humility, do it in love, go your way. And in the end, and it took some years, everything got turned around. But if I'd have done it in rebellion and anger, instead of passing through the midst of them, getting battles with them, you know, I just kind of put my head down and just kept doing. I mean, there were things even said, there were rumors out there, I don't think at the cathedral where Bishop Jones is, they even celebrate Easter. I mean, what do? You can't run around and defend yourself all the time. You just walk your way. Just go your way. And in the end, God honored all that. And it's been amazing what God's done in terms of now influence and impact. But Jesus didn't stop and get in a battle with them. He just passed through the midst of them, but went his way. There'll be times in your life where not in a spirit of rebellion and pride, but there are going to be voices. And in those places, you got to know what God's put in you. And you just got to pass through the midst of it and go your way. But if you do it in the spirit of Jesus, in the end, they'll just crucify you. No, in the end, there'll be resurrection. there'll be resurrection and make great fruit. Amen. I remember when, this is my personality type, I remember when Livy and I first got married, and we were kind of having this conversation, well, like, what would you want to written on your tombstone? Like, what? And so, in my humanity, like, I said, all I've ever wanted is just, he was a really nice guy and everybody liked him. And I thought, like, if you were just a really nice guy, everybody would always like you. But I found that wasn't true. Now, nice guys blow it, and I've blown it and done some imperfect things for sure. But if you're going to go his way, remember it's his story. Going your way means going his way he's called you to. There are going to be some times where you're going to catch the flak. But it'll be a grand adventure. In the end, when you look back, you'll go, man, I wouldn't have gone any other way. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.